Journal, Jeff Grammer, our good friend, joining us here on the program. Okay, Jeff, Air Force scores 100 last night. New Mexico beats Nevada by 30 to open up the conference season. What's going on in the Mount West? Have you figured things out yet?
Yeah, I mean, this is what we all thought.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of rich people right now who've been betting on all these outcomes. Look, it's a league that's been very disappointing overall. Nevada even fell victim to that once. You know, they've done a good job of not falling victim to that again because they are getting everybody's best shot. But there's not a team in this league, not one, that can say they're happy with where they're at right now. And that includes a one-loss Nevada. Even Utah State, that played well in the non-conference, kind of wishes, you know, they weren't already sitting with a couple of losses. So I think it's a league that I thought was going to be better this year, and I think every coach and every program thought they'd be a little bit better right now than they are. So a little disappointing, but it's also wide open.
Nevada's still a clear number one, though, in this league, even with that one loss?
Yeah, and I just said it's wide open. I take everything I say with the understanding I mean after Nevada.
Right.
So let me correct my own statement there. I don't think this league is wide open. I do think Nevada's going to win it by a couple games, at least. But I think everybody else right now, and that includes Wyoming, that includes maybe not San Jose State, but for the most part, everybody has to at least think, look, I can move a couple spots up from where I am right now in the standings. There's nothing saying I can't avoid the play-in round of the tournament. So that's, I guess, one benefit of what's going on in this league.
What happened back on January 5th in that New Mexico-Nevada game?
Well, they played a zone defense. All last year and the first half of this year, up until December 18th, actually, the Lobos were full court press, man-to-man pressure defense, you know, 30 feet from the basket in the half court. If your point guard was dribbling, you know, 10 feet beyond the arc, you'd have a defender in your face, and that had been killing the Lobos this year. Guards have been blowing by slow-footed defenders, and the Lobos don't have a lot of good defenders, a lot of really good offensive players, but no real good defenders. So the Lobo defense was struggling in the man. So Paul Weir, after December 18th, lost to North Texas, switched it up to a zone, and they've been all zone since. They've only played a few possessions of man since then. Nevada was awful, awful against the zone, and New Mexico was great on both sides of the ball. So it was the kind of game that New Mexico, which had a lot of expectations coming into this year, it just sort of snowballed on both sides, a lot of emotion, and kind of perfect storm sort of situation. The Lobos at the time thought, wow, this is what we can be. And then they went on to lose three straight games, primarily because of that same zone defense. So who knows?
Is it just because you think teams now had some tape on the zone and felt like they could attack it a little bit differently, or is there a little more to it?
A little bit. Interestingly enough, the way that the last three teams have really attacked the zone, Nevada tried. They had Jordan Caroline in the high post trying to feed him the ball at about the free throw line. And then when he gets the ball, either he's hitting a fairly uncontested shot about 10 to 12 feet from the basket, or he can, you know, attack the rim from there and dish off and get an easy layup for someone else. That's what the last three teams have done. Nevada could not exploit that. So, interestingly enough, it wasn't that they saw what Nevada or Air Force before them didn't see. Those teams tried to do the exact same things, and it just wasn't successful. The Lobo defense was really, really good in those two wins, and they've been exploited in the last three the exact same ways. The first two teams couldn't do it.
Talking to Jeff Grammer of the Albuquerque Journal, joining us here on the program. We got a chance to talk to Alan Edwards today, and of course, you know how thin the Cowboys are with their depleted roster and all that. But you know, he was asked about particular players for New Mexico, and he brought up Anthony Mathis. And one of the questions was, is it kind of how Mathis goes, how the Lobos go? And I'm curious, is that how it is for New Mexico, or is there more to this team?
No, that's what it has been, but it shouldn't be. It should be more than that. First of all, I do think Anthony Mathis is the best shooter in the league. I think he's better than Sam Merrill. I know can put up an argument at Utah State. I know Jessup, some people want to say Jessup at Boise State, whoever you want to throw out there. I think Anthony Mathis is the best shooter in the Mountain West. And as he goes, so go the Lobos. That's how it's been. But the problem is they have two really good low post scorers. Now, one of them isn't a good defender, Corey Manigault, but he's a very good low post scorer. And the other guy, Carlton Bragg, former Kansas Jayhawk, former McDonald's All-American, who just became eligible in the middle of December, is still getting up to speed. He's kind of sort of in the process of getting into foul trouble every game, which for a guy who was took a year and a half off, shouldn't say took a year and a half off, but he hadn't played in a year and a half since Kansas, he's a guy that right now he's very good in the low post. He's a very good defender, too. He's a very good post player. But right now, I think the speed of the game, he's a little rusty still, so he's getting into foul trouble a lot. Once that goes away, I think they're going to have a very good inside-out opportunity with Mathis being a great shooter and these two guys in the low post being very good offensive players. The problem right now is they can't even get the ball into the post. They have very poor passing, so that's been their major problem.
Jeff, Paul Weir has come in and done some nice things, as you mentioned, kind of changed the way that the Lobos were playing. But now that, he's in the middle of this season, what is the attitude towards him? I mean, we know the tumultuous times that Lobo basketball has had since Steve Alford has left, and that was it seems like such a long time ago. But how is Paul Weir being received right now as they're in the middle of this season?
They would have built a statue for him last year.
Right.
They were picked ninth. They finished third, got to the league title game in the tournament, had a lead on San Diego State with 7 minutes to go, kind of ran out of gas just a little bit. But, I mean, this was a team that almost started 3-8 last year and almost made the NCAA tournament. They loved him last year. And all the things they loved him for were sticking by his guns even though they were struggling, suspending players, when he didn't have to, but because he wanted them to do things his way. Well, this year, they lost a couple games early in this fan base, which, look, everywhere in the Mountain West would love the passion of the global fan base, but they aren't, that doesn't buy a coach any kind of leeway. When they struggled earlier this year, this fan base turned on him really quick. He's in year two, and there's people calling for his job. So I wouldn't say the majority are calling, but the majority are frustrated. But there are people calling for his job, midway through his second year, when the first year he overachieved. And season tickets have gone up where nowhere in the league is that happening. So he has all these good things on his resume right now in a year and a half, and yet people want him fired. So that's Lobo fan base for you right there. But they still show up. They're still 10,000, 11,000 strong a game. That's what makes this program. They just need to get some wins.
Isn't that any fan base, though? Because we're kind of dealing with that now in the middle of Allen Edwards' third year with how poorly it's gone this year. After back-to-back 20-win seasons, and I know the fan base here says yawns at the 20-win seasons, but as you know, covering college basketball, that's kind of the benchmark for college basketball coaches is that 20 wins. And now with everything that's gone on this year, the fire Allen Edwards train is in full force right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as good as things were here last year, and these fans wanted, like I said, to build a statue for the guy, they finished with 19 wins. They didn't even hit that 20-win plateau last year. Now part of that is because they started so slow, but yeah, 20 wins is, it means something. It should mean something. And fans have the right, fans are what the program should be about anyway. Fans have the right to get that way a little bit. It's just, I guess my big confusion with it is how can't you just enjoy it sometimes? Your team's not going to win every year. You don't have to be so miserable after every loss. I can tell you I'm a 49er fan in football. If I just only liked them when they were, making runs at Super Bowls, I would hate the NFL. But I actually enjoy watching football. Same with all my other sports. They don't win every single year, and yet I find a way to still enjoy those sports. And right now, fans, it's one extreme or the other. It's either, look, that's what I thought, we can win it all, or fire the guy. And I just don't know where the middle ground in sports fandom went to. And it's a little frustrating because I hear it all the time. I know which batch of 30 people are going to be messaging me on social media or emailing me after a win, and I know which 30 or 40 guys are going to be messaging me or emailing me after a loss. So it's a little exhausting, but that's what fandom is.
Yeah, we know which 30 were texting us if we, after a win, if we ever got one.
Shocking.
That's I guess it's, at least the Lobos have that going for them, is they have sprinkled in some wins.
How were Grammer's guesses last night against the Daughters Coin?
2-0 to 1-1. So right now, and I let her know about it because she lets me know about it, I am up on 3 games on my daughter. So take that, 9-year-old girl who knows nothing about college basketball.
Now you got put in your place last year by the Coin, right?
She did. My daughter flipped it. For those that don't know, my daughter flipped a coin for every game. I pick games against the spread because, darn it, I'm a paid professional. I know what's going on, and I know college basketball, so I made my picks. And I had my then 8-year-old daughter flip a coin for every game, and she beat me over the course of Mountain West basketball. So there you go. There's my expert opinion.
Exactly. That's the way it always works.
Next year we'll get you in on our picks against the spread for football the whole season, where we have one person, I think, now that's one game over 500.
We pick 10 games a week, Jeff, until the playoffs come around. And so we're up near 100, close to 200, I'd say, about 175 games that we picked this year. And it's just awful, absolutely awful. None of us, outside of Jeremiah, are above 500. We have a celebrity guest picker who's a comedian, a local comedian that works down in Denver. And he actually was a gambler at one time, or was in the business a little bit, and he's just miserable as well.
I'm about 30 games under 500. How does that tell you?
I was going to say, I can figure out why that guy's a former gambler.
Right.
I just got done talking about fans and why can't they just enjoy the sports anymore. Look what we're doing to ourselves. I publicly let people know how smart I think I am before every game, and yet I look like an idiot losing to my daughter, and I keep doing it. So I'm as bad as fans.
I might have my dog pick against me next year.
That'd be pretty good, yeah. Yeah, it might be a good one.
Put out two treats and let her pick which one she wants.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Jeff, hey, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game on Saturday, and we'll visit again. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
There you go, Jeff.